Fighting in Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's the post-vacation edition of Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the ESPN 101.1013 app.
Somebody's mentally still on vacation.
Trying to recover. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll break down this past week's race at Nashville and hear from your winner. Who beat your favorite driver, Denny Hamlin? We head to the Irish Hills of Michigan this weekend. We'll get you ready. And we got fantasy standings, chase standings, plus much, much more on today's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle. To my radio right, all things Alabama, which, by the way,
got knocked out the same night your Lady Vols girls did, yes. Too. Didn't think it was going to happen two times in the same day. But
I will say this. Beautiful campus down in Tuscaloosa. On the way back from Texas, we spent the night in Tuscaloosa and went. My youngest is an Alabama fan and took a picture in front of Bryant Denny Stadium.
Whoa.
You didn't know this out of his 13 years that my oldest is an LSU fan? So we stopped in Baton Rouge.
What have you done?
No, it's
what
like,
kind of parenting is going on in the household?
It's good parenting for one part there, not the oldest. Not the oldest.
The oldest gives in to peer pressure and with his friend and goes to LSU. My middle is a smart one because he knows he gets to watch the Tennessee game in the man cave because he's a Tennessee fan. Then my youngest, an Alabama fan, whom my father-in-law corrupted him. So anyway, it's a long story.
I didn't know we were going to have. I mean,
the oldest and the youngest have black
Patreon,
and white.
Our Patreon listeners are going to. They're going to hear. We got to have a discussion here.
We do, and it's maybe we can when we actually get Patreon. I don't know if is that something. I don't know. All right, the man talking about things we don't have and conversations we still could have sits across the table, and that's the super producer Scott Webb. All right, so look, I needed a prescription. Scott needed a prescription after 120,000 steps. Jason, well, he just had a regular work week.
After these past few work weeks, I need a prescription. Okay.
Well, you can get one at Mouse Creek Pharmacy, and they've grown so much they needed another location. That's right. Same great hometown service can now be found at their newest location, Georgetown Pharmacy. You guessed it, off Georgetown Road in Georgetown, Tennessee. Get away from that big box store, especially CVS, and visit Mouse Creek or Georgetown Pharmacy today. All right, so look, Crystal Beach, Texas. Let me give a little recap of
want to hear all about it.
Yeah, so I'm now 48 years old.
Wow.
I'm about to be 49 in August. I know, Scott, you can't relate.
I'd kill for 48.
So we go down there. We've got a cool little beach house. It was really inexpensive. And typically, you get a beach house, you think you've got access to the beach, and you don't have to worry about cars driving up and down the beach. You know, people backing their cars up. And so anyway, saw that online prior to. Thought it was like a Daytona at 8 o'clock. They kick you off the beach.
Nope.
These people start partying about 9 o'clock. It sounded like World War freaking two out there. It like 11.
Somebody
with the
was storming the beach.
Oh yeah,
Normandy. Yeah,
it was like Normandy beach. Over there in Galveston. So it was like, you know, I'm like at 12 o'clock. I'm like looking for laws. Like, is there laws against this mess that I can call the police and get them out here? Because my man, I'm trying to sleep.
You know, sounds like. You ever seen that movie Summer Rental with John Candy?
Yes.
All them people right outside, you know.
That's the way it was.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so we had that whole thing by, you know, we went Memorial Day weekend, which is probably not the best.
That's probably.
So Monday it chilled out a little bit, but I did sit on the beach and get my toes in the sand with some good yacht rock going on in my ears. So it was nice there, but yeah. Hey, coolest thing though. Saw that this boat we're rolling your eyes over there, Webb. We got to connect with the people.
Yacht rock on the beach.
That's right. I thought it the coolest thing he said that he did was probably listen to Michael McDonald out there, you know,
maybe.
All day long.
That's a good possibility. So they had a shrimp boat that was that got stranded on the
Genie.
Beach. And so anyway, the shrimp boat got stranded on the beach. Well, the Cajun Navy, I don't know if you've heard of them, they're a volunteer group that comes and gets boats unstuck. And so got to watch that whole thing, which was really cool. You can see it on YouTube. The boat was called the Buccaneer. Reminded me of Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't know if that was one on there, but anyway, that's what I did. Webb, J Jason gave you some heater.
I want to make a appreciation post here publicly to the heater, because he set me up. He told me where I needed to be at Disney. He told me where I needed to go, how I needed to handle things. And I mean, it was like having my own personal Disney assistant. It was better than ChatGPT. It was just right on the money.
That's what I'm here for, man.
I know. He's just here to serve. Yeah, and man, I can't thank him enough. And I did still walk 125,000 steps. Now, that's some things are on you, some things are on me. That one was on me, but great time at Disney. Now, I need a vacation to recover, which typically happens. You don't go to Disney to have a relaxing vacation. You go to work, but a fun type of work. So it was a lot of fun. Had a great time.
Good.
Definitely fun. And I think anybody needs, and Jason could probably do his own podcast on Disney.
Well, I mean,
don't they know you by your name down there?
They possibly do. When I come in, they'll tell me, hello, but Jason,
Jason, do you still want to do the underground walk, or do you want to walk with the commoners?
Yeah, just walk with the commoners. I'll find me a bench. I could also told you the best bench spot too down there.
Yeah, people watching is my thing.
It's in an alley. It's in the back. It's very quiet. And there's cold air. Oh. There's nobody. It's like a hidden. Nobody knows about it. And you can just sprawl out. It's great.
Wow.
But anyways.
This is where we are.
Glad you guys had fun and glad you guys made it back safely.
Yeah, it was fun. We had to, we had some issues. We had a death in NASCAR. We had to come there talk about prior to, which kind of sticks. We'll talk about that in a second. All right, so Nashville. On the heater dud meter, I'm going 2.5. It was just kind of, I guess.
Jamie, I'm going to go middle. I'm going to go middle of the pack with you too. I don't think it was great. I don't think it was terrible. There were some times where, and even listening to Denny Hamlin says, the only time that you made, made some moves is if depends on what kind of strategy you were on.
Right.
You weren't out there just passing people left and right. It all had to do with the strategy. So, that with that being said, the cars weren't good enough to pass just on their own, so I'm going to go middle of the road with a 2.5 as well.
I probably tick a little bit higher because I thought there was enough intrigue, especially late in the race with Zane Smith and Ryan Blaney trying to pull a turn it into a fuel mileage type race. So, I think it was better than I expected. Now, the late start and the late ending, that stunk, but that's not really on them. But I thought it was a pretty good race. I thought the ending was outstanding. So
it's better sometimes, than Dover.
Right. That sometimes that can cloud when we start talking about rankings, because the last 40 laps of that had a lot of intrigue and a lot of passing and a lot of tempted passing and all that, and then in the way it did. I thought it was a pretty good race.
I'm going to throw this out there to you guys and just food for thought. And I know it's there. Concrete tracks, Bristol,
gotta go.
Dover, Nashville. I really think at this point in time, I think Nashville's a little bit better race than either of those other tracks. That's just my personal opinion. And I never thought I'd say Nashville was better than Bristol, but
I think it's better than Dover.
Yeah, I think it's better than Dover, but I think really Nashville's competing with Bristol right now. Unless we've seen some good Bristol races in the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Some things have changed, but I don't think it's up there to where we used to see it.
But I think the fans agree, right? I mean, that place was packed.
Yeah. But it only holds like 40,000 people.
That's right. been my argument from day one. If you want to make
NASCAR
it look like
got
it's
too
doing
big.
It,
and you know that back in the day they wouldn't have a Cup Series there because it didn't seat enough.
Right.
In the grandstands.
Now they're begging.
Now they're begging people to come out there. Yeah. But it was a good crowd, and especially for a late start like that.
Yeah, I thought so too. Look, I got an announcement to make.
Uh-oh. Do I need to get the breaking news?
Yeah, do that.
Let me see if I can find that real fast.
Yeah, so this announcement, just let me know when you're ready.
We're digging. Hold on.
But I've thought about this for a while. I've been very, hard on this guy, but I got an announcement.
Stay tuned for late breaking news.
Well, let me go ahead and break it. I'm a fan of Shane Van Gisbergen now.
Okay.
Whoa.
Here's why. I watched him
We may have to have two episodes on the Patreon.
At Nashville, for what I could say, will a car around. I think he finished sixth. And fifth? Fifth. I think he finished fifth. Our crack research staff is telling me. And so when you think about it, come to three, you know, three abreast down there towards the end of the race or at the end of the race to cross the line there. And, you know, he's in the same equipment as Ross Chastain, and Ross is 26th in points, and Van Gensbergen with one win is 12th in points. Now Ross has got three stage wins where Shane's only got one, but I think the three stage wins were probably a, you know, some sort of deal where Ross stayed out and everybody else went in right before the stage was over with and was able to get that. So I'm going to go. I thought about this over the weekend, and I'm like, well, it's, you know, do I need to continue to hold my position? I know I did send the no talent. Jason questioned that.
No, it was on somebody else. It wasn't on, No, yeah. You did send it on him, and I'll tell you what, you were giving him the wrong end of the deal on that one.
That's right. So I figured that out, and then I thought, man, you know what? This guy seems to have it somewhat figured out. To be able to – I look at it this way. Is he better than Juan Pablo? Is he better than Ambrose?
Yes.
And so to me, now he's performing good at all different, you know, tracks or whatever. So
one might say he needed a little seasoning before he learned how to run those tracks.
Yeah. True. And I think super speedways, he still has some work to get done because he can't figure that out too well. But that takes a lot. But
if he was neither does Kyle Larson. But right. We don't talk about him.
If he was 15 years younger, the whole NASCAR garage would be trembling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Because
Especially for road course.
Yeah, and you think about how he's done better on ovals. And, you know, I like the guy.
Is going back to the chase from the playoffs a result of Van Gisbergen maxing out on playoff points by winning all the road courses, which there were a ton in the
I don't think so.
I think there was too much chatter about the system before.
I don't think the people in the business liked having a one race finish.
Yeah.
With that, but I also think it led to people like, you know, Trackhouse bringing in Van Gensbergen just for road courses to get in.
Yeah.
That's how they got paid.
But, I mean, you still have to run all the races. So you're not just going to bring in a ringer just to win that. You're not eligible.
Well, at that time, it put him in the playoffs, though.
Right.
Yeah, that was a solid run Sunday night.
Yeah, it was for sure.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Welcome aboard.
Congratulations. Glad you could be a part of that.
You might want to cut the applause for this one, because I'm like, I thought about this morning as I was putting this together. Can Christopher Bell ever find that dog that may live in him? He keeps getting muscled out of the way. It seems like every time before the end of the race, and you know, he's in seventh in points, but I feel like that he just gave up on Sunday, knowing he may not have had the fastest car, but you don't just give up. Denny Hamlin doesn't just get out of your way, and he got put three wide in a situation I think he could have avoided.
No, I think it boils down to not that Bell didn't have a good car, but I think that Hamlin had a superior car.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it boils down to, and he knew that.
Yeah, I still would love to see, and we've seen it in certain races. I can remember a Bristol race not too long ago where I just like to see him be a little more aggressive.
Yeah.
And you know, he's not had the kind of run, especially in the playoffs, whatever format, we'll see what happens this year, to really make a run for the title. But he's put himself in position, so we know he's a talented driver. There's a little something missing. It could still be he needs a little more experience, and maybe it is he needs a little bit more aggression in that. So, you know, he's a talented driver, and he's capable of winning, but that was a race he could have won and had an opportunity to, and Denny just snatched it from him.
Yeah. The Toyota dominance over the past, we didn't get to talk last week because we were on vacation, but at Charlotte it was evident Toyota being, you know, at one point I think five or six Toyotas was top six basically, all you could put a blanket over top of them. And then this week with Denny winning, you know, with Bell running well, I think the 19 was up there a little bit, and then I don't know where the 45 was.
He was up there for a while, yeah. And I think he got a little damaged there.
The top three were Toyotas.
Yeah, and so you see Larson up there, and look, Denny made a comment on a show the other day that he thinks Larson spun on his own on purpose down towards the end of the race to try to get a caution so he wouldn't go down a lap. We had a lot of rotors going out on Sunday.
Oh, it was early, too. Yeah. It was early, too.
But things were glowing.
But I felt like that, you know, to me, the Chevrolets, I feel like are not in desperation mode, but they're trying to do something. Larson was the only one up there, but the Fords have just been out freaking classed by the Toyotas.
Well, I think – here's what I think is I think normally every year we see one of these manufacturers kind of come out the gate smoking hot. And usually April, May, around the All-Star race, people start to catch up. But I haven't seen – we're not at that point yet. They haven't figured out what the difference is because all these Toyotas are running – I mean, for the most part, almost all the Toyotas are pretty racy between across all organizations.
And if you think about it, Scott, I mean, even the guys and he's fallen off a huge cliff – but Bubba Wallace has had his times this year where he's ran great, times where he's ran like junk. But you look at Riley Herbst. I mean, not a whole lot of talk about him, but you see him on TV in that 35 running around making good times. I mean, the guy's pretty competitive out there a lot on the racetrack.
Right.
And just signed an extension for next year to run full time.
To run full time, which we could have used in the next segment or NASCAR news segment. Thanks for breaking news early. Yeah. But I think there's something that, especially with the Fords, that they need to continue to figure out and work. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what the difference is, but the Toyota cars have figured it out.
It could be it could be just that they have they don't have the car. Toyota comes out, they've got, you know, a car Chevrolet goes into, you know, to this is a new car this year. But Ford hasn't changed in a couple of years, so it's not like they've kept up with what's going on, and I think they're just at the point where they're outclassed. Now, I think Alex said something last time we had him on about how they're not really together as a manufacturer as far as sharing information, but I just think that they need a new body style, they need it quick, or they need to be able to make adjustments.
They need something, because outside of Blaney, who is running a Ford that's running well?
But he hadn't been setting the world on fire, right? I mean,
well, I don't even know, where is he in points?
He should be about third in points.
Yeah, he's third in points, but I mean, he's consistently.
I don't know what you're calling.
I'm saying consistently.
Setting the world on fire.
He's not competing for wins on tracks. He should be competing for wins on. Is that fair? He's got one win on the year.
He does have one win. I think if you look at the organization as a whole, you can say, wow, they are really struggling. Logano has been a little teensy-weensy more competitive. Mm-hmm. Cindric is what he is. But even the Wood Brothers car, Josh Berry, running that car. I mean, that car usually makes a lot of noise at least two or three, four times a year, and we've not seen any of that. So I think there's something going on. I think it's aerodynamically. They haven't figured something out to be able to get, like if they get on the super speedways, they're going to be there. They have the horsepower. It's not a horsepower issue. It's something to do with handling that they just can't seem to get things lined up like the Toyotas. And even the Chevys have run better as of late. So I still think there's some tweaking they're going to have to try to figure out. And that's a great thing about this sport, man. Some of these important tracks, we're going to come back and visit again the second time around. We need to see if they're seeing any improvement. You know, these are typically coming up. The next two tracks are typically tracks that Fords have had pretty good success on at Pocono and Michigan this week. So we'll see. But I have my doubts that they can get things turned around and really start to put forth an effort to be competitive for a championship.
Wins by Toyota, 5 by Chevrolet, 1 by Ford.
I was just about to say, when you were saying that, Jamie, that there are 3 distinct tiers of manufacturers at this point. And mm-hmm. one is the head of the class is Toyota, then Chevrolet, and then Ford is just abysmal at this point.
I would like to see who finished, you know, second or third in at Watkins Glen, because you take Van Ginsbergen, who dominated that field at Watkins Glen, but I feel like Reddick may have been second.
Well, see, he came back because he had to make up, I forgot how many spots at Watkins Glen, and ran them down. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Van Ginsbergen?
But I think he either passed Bell for the lead, which was a Toyota, or he passed
Gibbs.
Okay.
Well, you've got the top five at Watkins Glen was SVG, Michael McDowell, Gibbs, Briscoe, Reddick.
So, yeah, you had three Toyotas.
And then
the
Dillon,
five.
Allmendinger, Bush, and then Austin Cindric ninth in the Ford.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you take – I mean, I don't remember how McDowell – I feel like somebody was running out of gas or whatever, but that's – or McDowell was on the same strategy. I'm not sure, but Chevrolet could only really have four, and Toyota could have nine, which would be crazy. So – all right, shock finisher of the week. Let's do that now.
Shock finisher of the week, brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Locally owned for two generations, they can do your driveways, roads, and with their own asphalt plant, they can do interstates. Give them a call, 423-336-3841. You'll be shocked how good they are. I'm going with SVG. I thought he had the opportunity to have a bad finish and come back and finish fifth.
I'm going with SVG as well. Good, strong effort by the
Just to be different, I'll take Christopher Bell. I thought he had the best car leading up to the end of the race, and then just didn't win. That was a race I thought he could have won for sure.
Denny Hamlin gets the win at Nashville. First time he's ever won at Nashville, and he gets that dub. And
does the new Les Paul.
Yeah. Got the and does. I'm surprised he didn't pay tribute to Kyle Busch by slamming that thing into the ground.
I'll tell you what, that made them folks mad over in Nashville when that happened years ago.
Oh, I'm sure. But as you know, Kyle Busch probably
didn't
care.
He did not care.
Let's hear from the guy that beat all your favorite drivers.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely – it was very unexpected. You know, we had a few where we were the best car this year and we didn't win because of restarts, and it felt really good to get one back that we certainly shouldn't have on speed. The 20 had us covered. I think he passed us about three or four times today. And, you know, but I learned from my mistakes earlier in the season and you know, how I approach restarts. And, you know, it really kind of started in the first corner. I was able to get, you know, go to the bottom of the 20. I didn't shift the car very well. He cleared but drove in really deep and allowed me to get beside him. And for the next two laps, I kept side drafting, then trying to drive in deep enough to clear him, and I realized he was not going to let me clear him. And so at that point, I knew we were not making optimum lap time in corners. And so I learned from my mistakes, and on the final lap, I said, I'm going to roll the bottom, and if he, you know, he's probably going to drive in really deep, to thinking that I'm going to drive in deep, but I'm going to switch it up on him and get a good run off instead. And it was good enough to clear him.
Yeah, definitely it was. And you heard a couple of mistakes that Christopher Bell made in that interview. Bob Pockrass with Fox actually posed the question a couple days ago, can Christopher Bell execute to win a championship? I think at this point, that answer is probably no.
He's got to get better at it.
Absolutely. All right, this Victory Lane interview is brought to you by Lakeview Community Church. Lakeview Community is pastored by Eric and Lake and Golden. They meet Sundays at 10:30, Sunday night in small groups at 6, and Wednesday nights here in about 30 minutes. And so for more information, go to lakeviewcommunity.church. All right, want to thank WebVibe Digital Marketing, anything you see, and they've done a great job over the past couple weeks with all the Kyle Busch information and posting stuff for us there. Anytime we post something that is a
that looks coherent,
that looks coherent, but also when people die like Biffle with Bush, no, that's not just and Scott and I talked a little bit about this, you know, last week with the Kyle Busch deal. No, it's not just a thing that we do. We feel like that we're part of it, and because we do this on a weekly basis and have for such a long time that we mean that stuff. And so they put it in a format that looks really good for us, because if I got on there and started rambling, heck, I don't even know if Webb knows how to type. And so it would be a problem
Not a chance.
Right, for us to be able to do that. So want to give WebBob a shout out for doing a lot of work for us, and we'll go from there. Make sure if you want anything that looks halfway decent on your social media platforms, or if you need a website built, go to webiv.com for more information. News in the world of NASCAR, we've got it right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
We're back with your Old to Gold is on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm Jamie Kyle, singing the records across the table. Scotty Too Hotty. Actually, it's Finish Line Radio. Cooled by Dale's Heating and Air, Scotty Too Hotty might live on in empathy, whatever.
In empathy?
Yeah. People will have some empathy. With it getting warmer, it hadn't yet, but it's coming. You want to make sure that air conditioner is working. Give Dale's Heating and Air a call. Call Dale here in Cleveland, 423-509-8787, or do like we do. Just call dales.com. Time to move on to news in the world of NASCAR. Bradley Veterinarian Hospitals, who sponsors that. Listen, they've took care of my dogs for over 40 years. They've got five highly trained veterinarians that can help you with, you know, something as small as your new puppy to the livestock on your farm. For more information, give them a call, 423-479-2051, or visit their website, bradleybet.com, to make your appointment today.
So you got a 40-year-old dog?
No, okay. I actually grew up over there by the thing. I'm 48. They put one dog to sleep. Well, two dogs.
I hear that, man. Yeah,
it's crazy. But they always did a good job.
I was wondering if you had, like, the Carousel of Progress Rover dog. You know, the dog lives through all these, you know, decades, and he's still there. He looks the same.
That would be awesome.
You know, they're changing, in July, though. So.
Yeah, I've got two dogs now. I have to take my dog over there every.
It's a great 30 minutes in the AC.
It is a great 30 minutes in the AC.
All right, listen, we didn't get
to. Smells like Bristol.
That's the smell. We didn't get to talk about the tribute that Charlotte did for the Bush family. I don't know how in the world. She got out there with Kurt and poor Brexton is having to go from being a kid to a man.
Yeah,
I mean, as
yeah.
far as in the support system and you know how the thing goes in the house.
Yeah, it's super still just sad situation when you think about it. And you know, you want something good to come out of this. And is it periodic checkups before they go racing? I don't know. But, you know, there's so much pressure to go out there with your sponsors and your ride that you've got to go out there and perform every single week. And, you know, it's just a sad, unfortunate situation.
Yeah, and I mean, you think it's one of those things where, it's, you know, Brexton didn't have a absentee dad. I mean,
that's right.
Kyle was with him every step of his life.
It's not like, you know, the Dale Sr. and Dale Jr. that we've heard about in the past, you know, with the non-relationship. And then, you know, he was always wanting to make his dad proud that we've heard about and this and that. But you see a real family man there when you see Kyle Busch and Brexton. And, you know, it's terrible.
You wonder if, I mean, I know Kurt's got to feel that. Fill those shoes, I think, or the NASCAR community will, whoever.
I'm sure it'll be some of both.
Question for you two real quick. Does Kyle Busch automatically go into the Hall of Fame now?
I think they should just elect him now.
Yeah.
Don't even wait till next year. Next class.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just do it.
I wonder how that process could work, but maybe I'll ask one of the voters.
I mean, ask them because it's a Hall of Fame. It's not like it's rocket science. If you just want to put him in, just put him in.
I mean, you can change the rule book on a whim, you know, just erase it.
Just about anything, yeah.
So you can change that.
Why not?
Yeah,
I think
I think there's very few people out there that you would do that for, but I think he falls into that category.
And you know, and I was listening, you know, reading last week about, you know, they think that it would be unanimous and this and that, and they're like, people were like, well, you know, some of these jackasses didn't unanimously select Jimmy Johnson for the Hall of Fame. I mean, What kind of people we got voting on here that wouldn't do that?
No, I don't want to get on an all-star rant today. I'm in a good mood.
Okay, yeah. Good. I mean, we could always talk
about
that.
Yeah, don't get me started on the baseball.
That and the baseball, you know.
Goodyear tire test at Indy is today, and it'll actually be Thursday. Today and Thursday, sorry. And Chastain, Allmendinger, Custer, Nemechek, and Priest will be at the Indy tire test. I believe that that gets all of the OEMs.
They might as well go. They may go visit Victory Lane while they're there.
My question there
probably
is like,
not gonna why see it when they actually race?
Why do you always get Chastain? I mean, these people are not really relevant.
I think they take one from each manufacturer, and I think they. And then from each organization, and then they kind of switch some of that stuff up. I think there's a little more, there's a pattern to it. And then I think it's up to the organization to decide who they send. There's a little more to it than just say, hey, who wants to do a tire test?
Right. Looks like Kevin Magnussen is the new Trackhouse Racing Project 91 driver and will enter the San Diego race this month.
So as we're talking about San Diego, I got no response from either one of you.
I dug it though.
Yeah, the little video they put out, supposedly they've done a little mock movie.
Yeah.
Check that out on NASCAR.com. Or
it's like what Formula One did with Netflix.
It was pretty cool. So I thought I got a little chuckle out of it.
Has anybody watched The Double yet? Kyle Larson?
No.
The Double on Prime? Mm-mm.
Not yet, I haven't.
No. I haven't either. I just wanted.
Sponsor for Magnussen is going to be Qualcomm Technologies. So it looks like Phil Spurgeon, former Ross Chastain crew chief, will be the sponsor there. All right, new right side tires for Michigan per Goodyear. Who cares, right?
That was my first thing that popped in my head.
I was trying to find news. I saw they announced it. I don't know Michigan's not a handling track.
It's a speed, baby.
That's right. Hammer down. And so you got like different.
Yeah, but it's not really. It's drafting on the front and back stretch, but the turns are not really super speedway like.
I mean, I know in what do I have now? Not NASCAR heat, but the 25, NASCAR 25, you know, my rig, I can hold her wide open, and I get it down on the apron, some more grip down there on the apron. So we're going to have a party at my house one time.
What they need to do is just call you. All over there. They don't need to check in with the crew chief. I mean,
yeah, just what does Jamie want?
I can run it. I can tell him the setup.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe you can run it, but you're just too good, and they can't. So
they can't duplicate
tweak the tires and put down resin and all these other things.
Yeah, I could tell them not to. PB&J. No penalties for the 3 or the 6.
Good.
I think the what's the 6's spotter?
TJ Majors.
TJ Majors.
He got all this stuff stirred up.
They always didn't the spotter always say, "Well, he just wrecked you."
Yeah, he's mad. He's still mad about earlier. He wrecked you.
Didn't even ask him if he's okay. Just said he wrecked us.
Yeah.
He wanted
mad.
To. Yeah. That's crazy. Anyway, no penalties there.
Good.
Let's jump to our NASCAR.
Yeah, because I don't even think they checked Dylan's telemetry data and
no, but Denny,
never,
like I said,
it went
Denny
like he was
calls
on the gas.
All I know is LaTarte was saying yesterday, this is a big bunch of junk.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to hit him that way and put him into the wall.
Yeah,
way.
I mean, he had nowhere to go.
Yeah, I think it looked like the 6 got out of the gas. I mean, may have come off of it because he got loose. So, all right, NASCAR Cup point standings. Those are brought to you by Bree Maya with Cry Like Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bree is a realtor I trust, and you should too. Give her a call, 1-269-598-6243 today. Scott Webb, please take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your NASCAR Cup Series point standings after the running of the Cracker Barrel 400 from Nashville Super Speedway. Tyler Reddick has a 97-point lead over a hard-charging Denny Hamlin. Ryan Blaney third, Chase Elliott fourth, Ty Gibbs, gentlemen, fifth in the point standings. Kyle Larson sixth, Christopher Bell seventh, Chris Buescher, Carson Hocevar, Daniel Suarez tenth, William Byron, SVG, Brad Keselowski, Chase Briscoe, a struggling Bubba Wallace in 15th, and Austin Cindric in 16th. And that is your NASCAR Cup Series standings.
Brought to you by Bree Maya, Cry Like Realtors. She can help you buy your dream home or sell that piece of crap you got. 1-269-598-6243. Let's move on to the next race. That's Michigan. We'll talk about it right after this.
Got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
The green flag is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, and the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios as I try to get my fantasy starters lined up over here for Michigan.
Glad you said that.
Speaking of, it's time to move to Michigan. And in life, your next move may be
I'll go visit.
Buying a new home or moving an aging family member to their new home. You're not moving back, you say? Balanced Moving and Storage.
Not a chance. Way too cold in the winter for
me. If you did, though, Balanced Moving and Storage can move you to whatever your next race in life is. For Scott, it could be Michigan later on. For more information, go to balancedmoving.com or call them at 423-763-1GRAND. How about that? 1-0-0-0. All right, our partners at MRN, just talking to Alex Hayden a second ago on text, and I don't know if I'll share that with you, but
I was not happy with his answer.
You were definitely not happy about the Hall of Fame answer. So anyway, they interviewed Ross Chastain. They asked Ross Chastain about Michigan, said, what areas can your team improve on to lead a good run at Michigan?
That balance I talked about, that first question of that pitch of the car, getting that set and clean air and having that right when we unload. Qualifying, well, for sure. And then go race. And I'll just tell them myself, I've taken us out of a shot to win there by crashing on a pit cycle when I didn't need to. And avoiding that would be top of mind for me as well. If wherever we pop out through a green flag cycle there in stage three.
All right, Shane Van Gensbergen, my new best friend, was asked what has been...
Are you going to get like a SVG shirt or...
Yeah, when I go to Bristol later on this year, I probably will find me an SVG shirt.
Oh, I already saw you three thinking Bristol when I told you it's football season.
I know. It's crazy. I may have to go to Talladega now.
That's Tennessee. Who cares?
All right. Solid point. What's been the biggest factor in your recent improvement on ovals?
I think it's always just time and always learning stuff. Even last week, just learning stuff throughout the race and learning the flow of the race better, and then running, the further up front you are, the better people race you as well. So that's always nice. You know, it's a real dogfight in the mid-pack in the back. So getting away from that is a nice break. I think it really shows the importance of qualifying and getting up front, making no mistakes, and you can stay up there all day. It's certainly much more enjoyable. Yeah,
this, come on, Shane. That was really good. This week's schedule is brought to you by Porter Concrete. Jonathan Porter and his family have been concreting driveway, sidewalks, foundations, and pool decks, mostly all of mine, for many years. Finding the right person to handle your concrete project is important. You want to make sure whether it's commercial, residential, large or small. You know, they'll do them all. Give them a call, 423-596-0740. Heat up.
Schedule for the weekend. So on FS2 on Friday, 5 o'clock. Get the ARCA 100. Saturday, 1:30 on FS1. Got the truck race. And then on 5 o'clock on Saturday, Prime. You got cup practice and qualifying. And then Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh.
On Prime.
Cup. I'm still mad at Kyle Larson because he wrecked. And I would have probably not finished 7th in fantasy.
It happens. I mean, you know. It always happens in the third stage, man. Uh-huh. It always happens in the third stage.
Some crap.
So, sure. By the way, you know, if you talk about Bristol, you guys are playing Kennesaw State that night.
The last couple times I've been to Bristol that this Tennessee's played, they had a big screen out there by the track that they were playing it on. So,
might be in luck on that one, man. Yeah. Kennesaw State.
I think we get the dub there, maybe.
I'm kind of out on that one because Florida State.
But yeah,
we'll see.
Definitely see. So it's, you can tell football season's coming up, and. Hopefully Tennessee doesn't finish like I am in fantasy. And Scott, too. Jason, not so much. He's doing pretty good. We'll talk about where we all are right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio.
Brought to you by Clarity Property Management and Gateman Services on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studio. Time for fantasy racing. I'm almost just wrote fantasy racing off.
It's frustrating.
It's extremely
I don't want to hear that when you get a fresh start on the playoffs now.
I mean, you're still celebrating a championship in the playoffs.
I am. And it's
3 years ago, I think it was.
I got a regular season win at one point in time. I'm not really sure when that was. But, yeah, so we'll I don't know. I guess at the playoffs is not the playoffs. Can you please call it the Chase, Scott? Get it fixed.
Yeah.
So, all right. Rick Cart Memorial Fantasy Standings. That's brought to you by Clarity Property Management and Handyman Services. Listen, they want to focus on that handyman service. Michael Williams has started that. And a lot of people know that when you have your houses, rental houses, things break. And sometimes you may not be like a handyman, like we are not. I don't know. Jason might
be. No.
But, you know, you need somebody that can help you do that. They are the people to do it. They're the same people that manage your rental properties if you want them to with the property management side. But now they have the handyman services. Give them a call, 423-458-2600, and help or let them help you fix your house today. All right. Let's throw it over to the standings. I really will probably stop paying attention.
All right. Here's your Nashville Super Speedway lead standings. Number first place, Jason Hildebrand, then Brandon Gaines, Gunnar Ryder, your cage number three.
Horrible. Said that casually, didn't he?
I mean, it's
humbly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you can go from the penthouse to the outhouse in no in a week.
In time. A half lap.
Yeah. every squirrel, pine squirrel finds a nut every now and then. Okay, Haywide 867, Dale's not dead, fifth.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Six, 11 left turns. Scott Webb, seventh. Dawsonville Dominator.
Quick story about that. He sent me a text yesterday. He was at the track at Nashville. He said, dude, I'm so frustrated. Seen a shirt at track that I wanted but sold out. Logged on to NASCAR on my phone, and now my entire fantasy profile is wiped out. He's going back to Blake Buell. Good thing, because he's been sucking as the Dawsonville Dominator.
Okay. So Jamie Kyle in ninth. RLM Racing, Wild Racer, Chasing the Dub. Arnold Tarpley. Must not have prime, so he didn't make any changes in his lineup.
That he's not dead.
Kivo Racing, Chase Checkers, and the Real Lyle.
Kivo's going south in a heartbeat. My God.
So overall, Brandon Gaines, RLM Racing, 11 left turns. I'm in fourth. Gunnar Ryder, your cage number three.
He's
fifth. Dale's not dead. Jamie Kyle, Arnold Carpley, Wild Racer, Kivo Racing, Dawsonville Dominator.
You said Scott Webb. Oh, there it is, Scott Webb.
Yeah.
Scott Webb.
Hey. That's what the sigh is for. It's a long way down that list.
Chasing the Dub, I can come close.
No, the Real
I'm not chasing a Dub.
And K-White 867.
Just hanging L's.
I'm just glad K-White's actually participating. It looked like he participated anyway. So, all right, here's who I got for, let's go with Scott Webb.
Going to start off with me, huh? Great. Yeah, this is like
3 weeks in a row.
Yep. I don't. My inclination was just to pick all Toyotas, but I decided not to go that way. I have Larson, who has traditionally had a lot of success at Michigan. Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Chris Buescher, and Daniel Suarez. I got Ty Gibbs in the garage. I got Hamlin over Reddick, Gibbs over Buescher, Keselowski over Chastain, and Carson Hocevar over Bubba Wallace.
All right, I'm going to go a little bit out there this week. Use some names that normally wouldn't use. I'm going with Chris Buescher, Ty Gibbs, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Carson Hocevar. In my garage, I'm going with Eric Jones, Denny Hamlin over
hometown Reddick. Boy. Jones only lives about grew up about 10-15 minutes from that place.
In the last three races, he's sitting in. As far as seventh average finish. So not his average finish, but seventh overall out of all drivers.
Crack research staff. I always give Jason on stuff the, that don't
on
give
the,
anything
on
to
the
us.
Ball today.
Yeah. I don't know. So Denny Hamlin over Reddick, Buescher over Gibbs, Keselowski over Chastain, Hocevar over Wallace, and that's mine.
I'll start with Austin Bill from Dawsonville's son, Chase Elliott. Joey Logano. Ford always runs well.
Just because you want to burn a pick or?
Yeah. Got eight picks with him. Carson Hocevar, Blaney, and Keselowski going very Ford heavy, hopefully.
I was about to say, man, you dogged them all them boys out earlier.
You talked about Ford for 15 minutes, and then you're going to put them all in your fantasy lineup.
I think
lineup.
You got three.
Where are you sitting in the poll in the overall standings again?
Not caring. That's where I'm at. I don't know if there's a number beside it. And I got Shane Van Gensbergen, my new best friend. He's in the garage. So
I like that pick, actually.
I got Hamlin over Reddick. I got Buescher over Gibbs. I'm going down the side. I got Keselowski over Chastain, and I got Hocevar over Jason's favorite, Bubba Wallace. A great pick. The number 11, this is from NASCAR. betting, and the number 11 would be plus 400 odds. Good bet would be also Kyle Larson, hot pick, plus 700. And then you got avoid Chase Briscoe at a plus 1,200. Avoid Bell, Christopher Bell, at a plus 6. His finished outside the top 10 in all seven Michigan races that he's been in. And then the sleeper, who run really well at Nashville, Zane Smith. So if you got a gambling problem, stop.
Yeah, we didn't talk much about Zane Smith, but that was a big-time gamble, and they ended up, you know, I don't even know where they ended up finishing, but, I mean, sometimes you just got to do, when you don't have the car that the other teams do, sometimes you got to make a decision, and they almost pulled it off. Yeah. So, tip their hat to them. That was a pretty good effort.
I mean, this is no different than, you know, if you're not hitting, I mean, throw a suicide squeeze out there, get runner home.
Gotta do something, man.
Change it up.
Make sure you tune in next week as we will get you ready for our Wolf recap. Forget it. I was going to try to get out there 48, but Scott kept talking. All right, as we break down Michigan and then get you ready for Pocono, which is we're all excited about. We can't stand our excitement over here thinking about Pocono. So for Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.